that they're very interested in, as well as DARPA, which then decides how it's farmed out in terms of applied technology to the various branches of the military.
In the area of radio frequency energy, this was kind of an emerging area of interest to U.S. researchers. In fact, you can go back to the 1980s, where there was a lot of interest in sort of looking at what could you do with radio frequency energy in terms of the human body. And it was the Air Force that actually contracted a study, and this study was done at the University of Utah, and it resulted in the Radio Frequency Dosimetry Handbook, which is a handbook to describe specific radio frequency dosages necessary to override the function of the various vital organs of the human body, heart, liver, lungs, brain, etc. And primarily, this basic research was being developed for weapons applications and design of future weapons. In fact, anyone who's followed sort of the development of weapon systems, we are tending to move further and further away from bombs and bullets and ordnance and more into things that affect us on a much more profound level using electromagnetic fields as a primary weapon of the future, whether they be high-powered microwaves or whether they be lasers. But the technology is changing. In fact, what the military now calls it is a revolution of military affairs on RMA, similar to what happened in the Middle Ages when gunpowder was introduced into Europe, or the changes that occurred after atomic weapons were developed in the last century. The same kind of revolution is taking place today, has been since the 1980s, perhaps even much before that.
How advanced has the technology become, or do we even know the full scale?
You know, you can look at sort of what have they done so far. You know, they've changed the antenna design dramatically. In fact, some of the earlier concepts required many kilometers, square kilometers, size antennas. But the new technology and the way in which we can manipulate energy has reduced that scale. We've learned a lot about the ionosphere in the interim. And when you think about an instrument like HARP, think about it like a tuner or a primer on a bullet that contains sort of the small amount of energy that then plugs into an actual part of the environment, changes the energy state of that part of the environment, and then uses natural energy as sort of the drawing source. So for instance, very low frequency energy can be pumped up into the ionosphere. When it arrives there, it captures some of the localized energy and amplifies the signal by 1,000 times. Now that's huge, and this is something that Stanford discovered and something that fits right in to the profile on HARP, because here you have this primer, this small bit of energy that you can manipulate, and then you use the Earth itself as the key to your weapon system. That is a big change in the way we've approached the Earth as it couples up with military science.
You know, what could we actually do with this kind of system? And one was stabilizing the ionosphere, this layer again that begins about 30 miles above the Earth's surface, extending several hundred miles out from there. The second was, could we destabilize sufficiently to knock out everybody's communication? And could we, in the course of destabilizing it, use that same signal for carrying our own communications? In other words, deny everyone else the ability to communicate, but maintain our own military's ability to do so. And in fact, those aspects of the technology were probably one of the more interesting ones from a military perspective. The other was the effect of being able to generate an over-the-horizon radar effect, being able to look around the curvature of the Earth for incoming objects. In fact, interestingly enough, the location of HARP is the location that was originally designated for the over-the-horizon radar system just before the fall of the former Soviet Union as our sort of early warning system. Because the old systems essentially would find things way high up. You know, intercontinental ballistic missiles could be spotted pretty easily, but things at a low elevation, cruise missiles, for instance, could not be detected. Things that were launched relatively close to the U.S. from, say, submarines would not be easily detected. With this system, you could detect everything from intercontinental ballistic missiles all the way down to cruise missiles and everything in between, even at close range. So that became a very interesting application of technology. And the way that would essentially work is they would create, using two transmitters, one would create a cold plasma mirror, a layer of energy